All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the League Express podcast. My name's Jake Keenan, and joining me as always is the editor of League Express, Martin Sadler. And Martin, we're on our 30th episode today. It's the time is just flying by, hasn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. It's weird today. It doesn't feel like we've done 30 of these, but, you know, we've got to accept that we have. And what a great week to have as a 30th week, Jake. The NRL making its debut in Las Vegas, and I thought that was a fantastic event. I mean, obviously, I've only seen it on TV. I wish I'd been there. But what a great event, a doubleheader with you know, 40-odd thousand people in the stadium. A fantastic facility, enclosed roof, so, you know, they were playing at a constant 21 degrees, while apparently the winds, have had the worst gale force winds in Las Vegas since 1985, so what a great thing it was to be playing in an enclosed stadium. You know, that doesn't need any more justification, does it?
Can you imagine taking a conversion from the sideline with those winds coming across?
No, and then we had some great action in Super League, of course, and you know, there's stacks to talk about, mate.
No, absolutely.
How long have you got?
Yeah, that's right. God, we could be here all day. Yeah. But before we get into it, we also say we're approaching 700 subscribers on YouTube. So just a reminder to our viewers out there and listeners, if you want to get notifications, when we upload, go and hit subscribe, and yeah, you'll be informed when we do upload our content.
Absolutely.
But yeah, why don't we jump straight into Vegas, mate? So your overall first impressions. I know there was, I guess, across the board, there was people 50-50. They had a few doubts about us going over there and trying to expand the game. What do you make of it?
Well, the first thing that I would say is let's learn never to underestimate Peter Vlandis. Mm. Because Peter Vlandis, it was his idea. A lot of people scoffed at it when he first sort of broached the idea maybe a couple of years ago now, I would think. And people said, you know, this isn't going to work. It's a crazy idea. In fact, it was a brilliant idea. And there were lots of potential teething troubles, you know, before the four clubs made the journey over to America. There were some problems with visas for one or two of their players who had, you know, had one or two minor run-ins with the law in the past and so on, because the Americans don't like to give visas to people who have got any criminal record. Mm. But it all went well in the end. They all got there. They all had a wonderful week. The fans were the important people, though. And I think they all knew it was going to work well when they had a sort of meet the fans session, didn't they? The fandom day. When there were probably all the teams were there and there were about 5,000 people, you know, flooding the Las Vegas Strip to meet the teams. And you got the feeling then that it was going to be a great success. And the wonderful thing was, you know, that there were all these complaints beforehand, weren't there, about the, you know, the size of the pitch was going to, you know, mean that we were going to have two very dour games with very few tries and so on. Well, that could hardly have been further from the truth, could it? 36-24 the first game, 20 points to 10 the second game. Some great tries, magnificent moves. I think the audience in the stadium was probably, you know, about 50-50 in terms of Australian and English rugby league fans going there and American fans, American people seeing it for the first time. Mm. But I can only imagine that those who were there thoroughly enjoyed themselves. There were only two snags, actually, at the weekend, as far as I can gather, Jake. One was the accusation of a racist slander made by Brisbane's Jake Mam against the Roosters' Spencer Lenu.
And that Ezra was Mann. Oh, sorry, Spencer Lenu against...
Ezra Mann, sorry, I'm getting it wrong. Ezra Mann against Spencer Lenu, yeah. Which was surprising and unfortunate, and obviously that's got to go through the disciplinary process, so we've got to see what the outcome of that is. I mean, I was really surprised by it. And the second thing was there was a slight hiccup with the TV coverage in America on Fox Sports 1, where it was the first game, the Manly Rabbitohs game, was supposed to follow a college basketball game on Fox Sports 1, which is the main sports channel over there. But apparently the basketball game ran over into extra time. And the first 17 or so minutes of Manly and the Rabbitohs was actually shown on Fox Sports 2, which is the minor channel, before transferring to Fox Sports 1. But the good thing was, it just transferred to Fox Sports 1 in time for them to see that fantastic interception try by Jason Saab.
Yeah.
You know, which was certainly worth seeing, wasn't it? Mm. So, no, but it was an incredible achievement. And I noticed one very interesting thing in one of the Sydney newspapers this week, since the Vegas event, that one guy who is a major sports figure over there, who's got a stake in the San Francisco 49ers, and whose business actually owns Leeds United, the football club in this country, has said that he'd be very open to buying an NRL club, potentially. Mm. And if that happens, if we get to the stage where very wealthy Americans are interested in taking a stake in rugby league clubs, either here or in Australia, that's going to be quite a big change, isn't it?
Mm, no, absolutely. And it's always positive when there's investors talking about, you know, just the potential of being involved in our game. And
absolutely.
A few things I picked up on, mate, is there was a few little, I guess you could say, a bit of Americanization of the coverage, I found. So just a few things. So every time the football was kicked into the crowd, the fans got to keep the football.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The yellow gold post, I thought that was a nice
touch.
Kind of like the NFL yellow gold post.
And the
post.
Pitch looked terrific with all the markings, didn't it? You know, and it's the one thing we need to learn. When you look at a Super League pitch, it's bare, virtually, apart from the lines going across the field. And the way the pitch was marked out in Vegas just gave, it's difficult to sort of say how much value that adds to the event. But it does do, doesn't it? It looked fantastic. The pitch had been rolled out, I think, a couple of days before. And the whole thing looked great. Mm. It looked absolutely marvellous. And interestingly, it was a pitch that was slightly shorter than the standard rugby league pitch, but they'd done the grid lines, you know, which are supposed to be 10-meter grid lines. I think they'd done those so that they were evenly spaced and probably about 9 meters each, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But again, that looked great, you know, and it was a brilliantly marketed event, I think.
No, absolutely. And just a touch on, I guess, the crowd attendance, a tick over 40,000. I thought personally, if we could get, 25,000 to 30,000 to the game, I thought that would be a success. But
yes.
40,000's pretty
and
great.
There were probably more who would have gone. But as I say, the appalling weather conditions, which were the strongest winds they'd had since 1985, apparently, that I think they'd have got up to 45,000 if that hadn't, been the case. So, but I think they'll get more next year. That's the important thing. Because I've seen lots of people, including me, I must say, saying, well, God, I didn't go this year, but I'll definitely go next year, if at all possible. So it's going to be really interesting, isn't it, to see who they pick next year for the doubleheader, assuming it's the same format next year as this year, which four clubs will be chosen to go. I'm pretty sure that the four clubs that went this year will want to go again. But I'm pretty sure that probably all 13 of the other NRL clubs will also want to go. And then, of course, there's the question about the longer-term future. Is there scope for the World Club Challenge being one of the games? Which there is, but that would have to be carefully handled because, of course, the World Club Challenge, as far as the NRL is concerned, needs to be played before the NRL season starts, and it would be difficult to fit that in a way that would really work properly.
I've thought about it, and I've got a solution.
Go on.
So
off you go.
My solution is whoever wins the NRL Grand Final this year, they get the round one bye.
That's
a
great
NRL
idea.
Season.
Yeah.
So don't hold off the scheduling until after the Grand Final's been played, and then let's say Penrith win again this year. They get the round one bye. That way, they don't get the luxury of having a week off that other teams would get. But I'm sure if they had the choice of going to Vegas and playing the World Club Challenge versus having a week off in the season, they would pick the World Club Challenge every day of the week.
If Peter Vlandis is watching this podcast, which I hope he is, how much are you going to charge for that idea, Jake?
Oh, who knows, mate? I think we might charge six figures. Who knows?
Exactly. But it's a great idea. No, I think that's an interesting thought. And certainly, you're on the way to a solution. There's no doubt.
And it would only... So how long ago was World Club Challenge? 2 weeks?
It was just a week ago, wasn't it?
So it would only be, assuming we're going off the same scheduling as this season, it would only be a week delayed.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have a major impact on the Super League. Maybe for the team coming back, that'd have to do with maybe a little bit of jet lag. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, in the matchups, obviously, Seagulls 36 defeated the Souths 24 and the Roosters 20 defeated the Broncos 10. Some people might say both those games were upsets.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure there are upsets in the NRL these days, by and large. I mean, most teams seem very equally, equally matched. And maybe West Tigers, if they, you know, and St George this year, that maybe they're the two weakest. But apart from that, I think the beauty of the NRL is that it's one of those competitions where any team can beat any other on the day.
Mm.
And that's what happened. And I thought Manly were magnificent, actually.
Mm.
That really was a tremendous win for them. And similarly, the Roosters look formidable, don't they, this year?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to my partner, Jane, the other day, and I said, if you look at the Roosters on paper, you could argue they have one of the best teams in the comp. And, last year they significantly, underachieved, you could say. I picked them to be a grand final contender at the start of last season, but yeah, they seem to be hitting their form early, which is nice to see.
Although it's always better to hit your form late than early.
Yeah, absolutely.
As they say, don't they?
No, that's right.
Let's not forget last year, South Sydney were top of the league halfway through the season, but finished ninth.
And then a dramatic fall.
Why that happened, who knows?
Yeah. Now, there's been a little bit of discussion about the team selections for next year. We touched on it earlier. Do you think that it should be limited to top eight teams that get selected for years to come? You want your best attacking football on display for the Americans. You probably don't want to be picking the bottom four teams.
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm not absolutely sure how they picked the four teams that went this year. I don't quite know whether they, what the criteria were that they adopted. But certainly teams that are going to play an attractive brand of rugby, maybe be one criterion, who knows? But, you might want to make it even more multinational. The New Zealand Warriors, for example, teams that represent major cities. Mm. You had Sydney and Brisbane there this year, of course, then South Sydney. But I don't suppose many people in America know where Manly is. But, I just thought it worked so well that I think you could send almost any four teams next year and it would go well. But obviously, you might think about sending the four teams with the best support, to send the most number of people over there, which would obviously, maybe Newcastle Knights, for example, would be an obvious one, wouldn't they? Because they've got great support.
And I can only imagine if we were to send, the winner of the Super League this year over for a World Club Challenge, how many more fans would come over from the North.
Because yes.
Brian Fletcher, I spoke to you before the podcast, Brian Fletcher was saying he met a lot of English fans over there.
I don't know if you saw before the kickoff for the first game, there were a group of Lee Leopards fans who unfurled a Lee Leopards banner.
Oh, really?
Well, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, it
Derek
was.
Bowman
they got everywhere.
Impressed with that.
It wasn't Derek Beaumont. It was some of the club's fans. But it was great to see.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And before we get into the Super League news, I want to give credit to the officiating. I thought they did a great job letting the game flow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Another thing I want to touch on is I think the Americans would have liked seeing the bloodshed. I think in the Manly South Sydney game, there was a lot of players at
Lachlan Croker.
Blood coming, and that's quite a foreign thing for them, obviously, because they wear helmets. But there was a 5-minute window there where there was just players getting taped up everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought,
no, absolutely. And what we don't know yet is what the TV audience was in America for those two games. And I mean, the TV figures in Australia were terrific, weren't they? Both Fox and Channel 9, but we've not yet seen what the figures are in America. So that's going to be quite interesting. And of course, there are some critics, some skeptics, I suppose, who say, well, the vast majority of Americans didn't even hear of it, and most American media didn't cover the games and so on. But of course they didn't. You're not going to go to America, have one major event, and then have 350 million Americans all exulting about rugby league. That's just ridiculous. It's those who see it, those who did see it, would they want to see it again? Mm. That's the key issue. And I'm sure that most of them would, and let's hope the audience builds in future.
That's right. We it's a long-term vision, and you know, if we were to measure the success after one event, I think we got to look at it as a 4 or 5 year plan.
Well, I noticed the ultimate sign that it all worked is that there are now news stories saying that the AFL are looking to play a game of theirs in America and looking to link up with the new competition, Major League Cricket, you know, to play on a cricket oval. But of course, there are no massive cricket ovals in the United States. So, you know, they could only look on with envy, couldn't they?
Mm. Yeah, they've been very vocal and skeptical of us taking the game over there. So
Yeah. It's nice to, but I don't think they are anymore.
Yeah, hopefully we've silenced them. Now, we've had a lot of great games take place over here in the Super League. Friday night, we saw Warrington 30 defeated Castleford 8. I was at that game. It was good to see. It was my first time interacting with Sam Burgess post-match, so that was pretty exciting.
How did you get on with him?
Yeah. He was very quick to get in and out of the press conference, but he was very pleased with his team's performance.
Did he ask you what you were doing over here in Azotti?
No. He didn't ask me that. I think his team, it looks like they're starting to hit their stride. They had a very good first half. They went a little bit quiet in that sort of third quarter, that 20-minute period after half time, but finished the game strong.
And I think Matty Ashton scoring 2 tries for them.
Yeah, and he's 2 acrobatic tries as well. Brilliant put downs in the corner.
He loves doing that. He's brilliant at it, isn't he?
It's a credit to the wingers these days. They do a great job.
He's great to watch. I mean, he is a real that's the sort of thing, you know, you'd like to see more of in Las Vegas, isn't it? Really? Magical tries.
No, absolutely. And then we also had the Saints Lee game take place on Friday night. A little bit of controversy around this one. Saints 12 defeating Lee 4. What did you make of that matchup, Martin?
I thought it was a real tough game, a really great game, and Lee played incredibly well. Just couldn't quite make it against St. Helens. Obviously, there was a sin bin for John Asiata with, a tackle that some people thought looked dangerous. But I noticed that he's not been suspended for that. And and it was interesting because I saw the TV coverage. I obviously wasn't there myself. And on the TV coverage, there was quite a debate between the presenter, Brian Carney, and John Wilkin about the nature of that tackle, with them disagreeing. John Wilkin condemning it, and Brian Carney saying, well, hold on a minute, it doesn't infringe the guidelines that the RFL put out after that controversy last year when 2 Saints players got injured in John Asiata tackles. And Brian Carney, to give him a lot of credit here, he explained why that tackle was different, and I think it was, and clearly the match review panel took the same view, didn't they?
And I also find that it's interesting that this tackle has happened again in a Lee Saints game. Obviously,
it's weird, isn't it?
Parsi and Walmsley last year.
But Asiata limped off, by the way, not long after that. I'm not quite sure I've not seen the diagnosis, but obviously had a leg injury and whether he'll be playing this weekend, who knows? Probably not, I would think.
And if he's not playing, it's another crucial loss for Lee, who are also down Edwin Apape at the moment.
Oh,
he's got an MCL
injury. Brad Dwyer played absolutely splendidly for Lee and pulled off the most amazing tackle, try-line tackle on Conrad Harrell. Did you see that incident?
No, I haven't seen. I've got to watch that game still.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
one of the tackles of the season, really.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look.
Yeah.
It's now, with the tackle controversy, do you think there's any way that this will get rubbed out of the game completely, or do you think that there should be more done around protecting the legs of players?
Well, I think there is quite a bit being done. And the thing about Asiata's tackle on Friday night was that he didn't go in front of the legs, he went behind them. Or at least I think that's how it was. And that reduced the danger quite considerably. As I say, the RFL set out some criteria for those low tackles where you're diving to try and stop someone coming through and you're going low. And hopefully that will take effect. And certainly, it was good to see that nobody got injured in that incident.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's just, when you sort of raised, or when you learn how to tackle a certain style, it's hard to shake that style.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Obviously, we've seen it happen a few times now with Asiata. But yes, a very tight matchup there. And I'm sure Lee will be desperate to get a win this weekend.
Yeah, they've only played two games, haven't they? Which, you know, puts them behind everybody else apart from Wigan. So I'm sure they will be looking to get a win this weekend. But, you know, there are no easy fixtures in Super League anymore, by the look of it, to me anyway. This week they play Leeds, rather. And that's going to be an interesting challenge for them,
tough
I think.
Match as well, yeah, definitely. We also saw Wigan defeat the Giants on Friday night, 30 points to 18.
Hat-trick for Liam Marshall, which is great to see. He's level with Ash Handley at the top of the try-scoring list. Five tries each in three games, which is good going.
You know, I mean, Ash Handley, what a season he's had to start the Super League campaign.
Yeah.
Saturday night, we saw Salford 17 defeated Hull KR 10. What a performance from Salford here.
I think. Mark Snead is just, you know, when he takes control of a game, he just dominates it, doesn't he? And his kicking game was absolutely spot on. It was a strong challenge from Hull KR, but you know, I remember last week saying to Willie Peters, the Hull KR coach, you know, how are you going to deal with Mark Snead and his kicking game? And he said, well, we're planning for it. But, it's one thing planning for it, but the trouble is you can't always do anything. And it's not just that he kicks well in field. You know, he's good near the line. He's good at kicking long. But he also kicks goals so brilliantly as well, you know. And he did do on Saturday, and also added a crucial field goal that opened up a 7-point gap and effectively won the game for Leeds, so for Salford. So, you know, absolutely marvellous performance by him, and still doing it. And it's so great to see Salford, you know, getting off the mark with two wins out of three this season so far. This weekend, they actually have a trip to St Helens, which, you know, is going to be tough for them. So, but, you know, they're going there in good form, I think.
I was going to say, have they surprised you with their start to the season?
I don't think they've missed Brodie Croft and Andy Akers as much as I thought they would do. That's the point. And they've also added some, you know, very good players. Nenny McDonald, I should say. I think has added a lot to them in the middle, in the centre position. I think young Amir Burrow has stepped up to play at hooker very well for them. And Cade Custer's been a useful acquisition from Wigan to replace Brodie Croft. So, I think they always seem to manage to surprise us to Salford, and they're doing it again.
No, it's great to see. We also had Leeds 18 defeated Catalans 10 on Saturday.
That was a tough attritional game, and Catalans just attacked Leeds right from the start and spent a long time camped out quite near the Leeds line, but just couldn't get over. And they just need a little bit more creativity. You know, if they'd had Mark Snead playing for them, I think they'd have won that game easily.
Yeah,
because, you know, he would have kicked Leeds to death, and he would have kept securing restarts, you know, goal line dropouts and so on. So Catalans just need to focus a bit more on how to break a side down. They can get near the line, but they don't seem to be able to make that last 5 or 10 metres. So that's the task facing Steve McNamara, I think. This week they play Hull this week, of course, and you know, that's a fixture that they ought to win.
And what were your thoughts on the Tarek Sims yellow card in that? I think it was a try-scoring attempt, and he's came through and made some contact with the head, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think he's been suspended, has he, as far as I know?
No, I don't believe so.
So, you know, but I thought it was a fairly standard yellow card, actually.
Yeah.
He made contact with the head, and that's now a yellow card, isn't it? It wasn't contact with sufficient force to justify a red card. So that's the sort of rule we're going to have to get used to.
One argument I would bring up is I thought that when we had our discussion with Robert Hicks a few weeks ago, I thought there might have been some leniency or mitigating circumstances in try scoring opportunities.
Near the line, yeah, yeah.
But I guess that's up to the referee's interpretation.
Well, yes, I mean, that might happen. Maybe it was borderline, you know, who knows, between a yellow card and just giving a penalty. But you know, that's a decision they made. And but Tarek Sims has had a good introduction to Super League, I think. Mm. You know, putting that aside, I think he's shown really strong for Catalans early in the season.
Mm. And it's always the thing when players from the NRL come over here and they're a little bit older in age, you can really get a gauge in the first few games. You know, could they be here for a few years, or is it just going to be a one-year stint? And it looks like Tarek has plenty of years left in him.
Oh, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
He's fit in really well there. And on Sunday, we had Hull FC 28 defeated London 24. Unlucky, London.
I thought that was a great game, personally. Yeah. You know, and London were unlucky, my goodness. And, they're not going to be anybody's pushover this year, I don't think. Mm. I mean, obviously, they're a relatively inexperienced side. But, you know, they took Hull all the way, and Hull only won it in the last 2 or 3 minutes with Morgan Smith scoring that try when the London defence was probably out on its feet. Mm. But, you know, what a great interception it was from Robbie Story to take the lead for London, you know, with just 5 minutes to go, and you thought they were going to win, didn't you? But and I've got to say that I think the Hull coach Tony Smith and the owner Adam Pearson and all the Hull fans, there were 10,000 of them there, which was a great crowd for that game, I thought. Mm. But my goodness, they needed to win that game, didn't they? Mm. They really needed to win that game, and you know, London could consider themselves really lucky. And one player who's really caught my eye so far this season for London Broncos is young Jamie Meadows, playing at halfback, playing for Batley last year, oddly enough. But he is a Londoner, is Jamie. I think he came from the Medway Dragons in Kent. People will correct me if I'm wrong, of course, but I thought he's showing up really well, and they scored, with some great kicks to the line. Lee Kershaw's try. Did you see that try? Lee Kershaw, the winger, when Jamie Meadows just put a peach of a grubber kick right into the corner, and Lee Kershaw picked it up brilliantly and touched down with it. I mean, he's been a good signing, Lee Kershaw, for London Broncos. I was amazed that he left Wakefield, to be honest, but you know, it's great to see him still in Super League and playing so well, and a lot of those London guys are playing well, and good luck to them.
I think they've got Wigan this week, so
they have. It's not likely to be an easy game, but you know, they'll probably get a great crowd there again, won't they? Because I think Wigan will take a lot of fans down there to the Cherry Red Record Stadium in Wimbledon, and you know, they might even exceed the crowd they got for the Catalans, which was over 5,000, 5,102.
And for Hull FC, I'm sure they're looking forward to getting some of their troops back that are currently serving suspensions.
But some of their younger players have done quite well for them, haven't they? You know, in the last two games. So, you know, good luck to them. And the guy they need to get back is Jake Truman, standoff, who's a brilliant young player. And I think they're missing him more than anybody at the moment. And he will give them some direction when he returns, which I'm not quite sure when that's going to be, but I hope it's not too long now.
Mm, no, absolutely. So that's the games from the weekend. Now, I've seen a few stories this week around some of the suspensions. So Conrad Hurrell, he's set to miss a match due to that incident over the weekend.
Yes.
What did you make of that? Do you think he deserves a match for that?
Well, I mean, Saints are not appealing against it, as I understand. So you've got to say probably he does, I suppose. But I'm sure they'll manage without him.
Yeah.
They didn't play Wanga Blake at the weekend, did they? That was the interesting thing about their selection against Lee. Mm. So I assume he will come in this week, unless he's injured, of course. Mm. So, you know, that's a pretty excellent replacement, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And yeah, I was going to say, do we know if that's injury or form related?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he's... He probably hasn't had the start he would like for Saints.
It's a long season, and he's only just arrived. So, you know, he's not had a pre-season with St Helens, has he?
That's
that's the point. And so it may well be that he's a bit behind in terms of fitness and so on. Still needs a bit of pre-season work, I suppose.
Mm, absolutely. Now, last week we didn't have any Thursday night games, Martin, but I believe we're back this week
with the Thursday night
fixture. I will say I was quite bored on my Thursday night. I was thinking, where's the football?
So, you didn't watch the darts then?
No, I didn't watch the darts.
I struggled to watch darts, I'm afraid. But it's Hull KR v Warrington this Friday, and what a game for a Thursday night. Mm. And, I think Hull KR close to selling that game out again, hopefully. Mm. Two clubs both on 4 points, two wins out of three each of them. It's a 50-50 sort of a game. Mm. The question for me is, will George Williams be back for Warrington?
That's right, yeah.
If he is, I think I'd make them the favourites. If he isn't, I think I'd make Hull KR the favourites. But it's looking looks like a great game to me.
Mm. What I will say is Leon Hayes, God, what a replacement he is for when George Williams is
out. Looks a great prospect, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there was Drinkwater went off injured during that match, so he could be 50-50 for this week as well. So we'll stay tuned on that one.
Absolutely.
The thing I will say is Ben Curry played through the middle, so he played at loose head or lock on Friday night, and he played a brilliant game. He was in one of my top three for player of the match. He rivaled Leon Hayes. It was a coin toss between those two who got man of the match. So, potentially a future for him in the middle there. I thought he played an outstanding game. Before we get into some of the other matchups this weekend, just a couple of other news headlines. Before we get into those, I just want to get your thoughts. I saw in your column this week, Martin, you're talking about the new head of officials, Phil Bentham, and Robert Hicks, their press conference that they had last week. What did you take out of that, mate? And what was it about?
I've always liked Phil Bentham. I liked him as a referee, and I like him as a bloke. And he's not started yet as the RFL's match officials boss. He's working out his notice at his previous employer, which was with the company that operates VAR in football. Mm-hmm. But I think Phil, he's a very approachable guy, as is Robert Hicks. We had Robert on our on this podcast a few weeks ago, and I think they are determined to make the whole refereeing and disciplinary process very transparent this year. And the signs are that they are going to do that and going to do it successfully, hopefully. It's interesting how that in that first week there were so many charges brought against players, but that has declined measurably, hasn't it, in the 2 weeks since? And that's what we're looking to see. We want to see as few players as possible being red carded or yellow carded, and I think whenever there's controversy, I get the feeling that both Robert and Phil will be very approachable to sort of explain what's going on and put everything into context, and that's the important thing.
No, absolutely. No, that's really good. And who knows? They might be opening a door that they perhaps wish that they kept closed.
Well, you never know. I mean, but generally speaking, transparency is better than being opaque, isn't
that's
it?
Right,
just closing everything off and not letting any light in, and that generally speaking doesn't work well. So good luck to both of them.
No, definitely. Now, last week you rejected a story for League Express around the interest of the NRL purchasing Super League. There was a story in this week's edition.
Andrew Abdo has actually said something about it, which is a bit not very specific, is it? But it is just, I think somebody obviously has asked him about Super League, and he's just more or less made a comment saying, yes, it's a major competition. We'd be interested in having a role there. But, the idea that means they're going to buy Super League is fanciful, to be honest. And, who knows what might happen. But, I could see quite a few people in this country not objecting to that if there was the NRL is so much wealthier now than English Rugby League. And if they were to inject money and ideas and so on into the competition, that would be tremendous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And especially if it came with the consultancy of Peter Volandis.
Well, indeed, yes. If Peter Volandis was over here, I think we'd get the London situation sorted out fairly quickly. I think he would recognise how important London is. So I think he'd find a way to boost London, and I think he'd find a way to expand the competition. I think he would make sure that the French teams were treated properly and so on, which I'm not quite sure that they are at the moment, but, you know. We'll see. I think the thing about Vlanders, he's taken away the tendency of rugby league on both, you know, in both hemispheres to be quite inward looking and parochial, you know, and he's more or less come in and said, damn that, we're going to grow and grow bigger, and we're going to, you know, get more money flowing into the game from all sorts of sources. And I think he's been an absolute genius for rugby league so far, and let's hope he carries on for quite a few years yet.
And I was listening to him and Andrew Abdo on the Matty John show post-match after the Roosters-Broncos game, and they said that they started talking about growing the game and looking at American opportunities at the height of COVID, like when COVID first hit, and to be thinking about growing the game when, you know, there's such a risk to, I guess, you know, the financial side of your game going forward and uncertainty around the future of
rugby league.
Just shows how aggressive their approach has been. But yes,
yeah,
so
yeah, they're a great blacks, aren't they? Vlandis and Abdo,
which is rare for
Seem to get on together. And Peter Vlandis sometimes makes comments that might seem outrageous at times, but but he backs them up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He backs them up, and you can't do more than that.
Yeah, his track record speaks for itself. But looking forward to the rest of the round one matchups in the NRL. This week, we had some good news. So, Morgan Smithies, he's been named in the Canberra Raiders starting lineup. He'll start
at
lock there. And Kai Pearce-Paul, he's been named on the bench for Newcastle.
Yeah.
I believe Will Price has been...
in the reserves.
Yeah, in the reserves.
He's been named, but not in the top 17.
Which is good. He trialled really well. I watched some of his the trials he played in. So, it'd be great to see those guys. And the Raiders are playing the Knights in this week's matchup. So, you'll get to see the two.
And that's on Thursday morning, isn't it? And you know, that's going to be a game that's on Sky in this country, as well as on Watch NRL, of course. And I'd be very surprised if they didn't get a terrific crowd, maybe even a sellout crowd for that game.
No, absolutely. Looking at this week's matchups in the Super League, I'll get your quick picks here, Martin. Saints versus Salford. Who do you like in that one?
Well, you've got to go with Saints, haven't you, for that one? I think.
No, absolutely. Lee versus Leeds.
Ooh, that's a difficult one. I think I'd go with Lee playing at home.
Yep, I agree. Then we got Castleford taking on the Giants.
Well, that's an interesting one. Castleford have had three defeats so far. Huddersfield have had two defeats and one win. Mm-hmm. They had a great win at Lee. But I think Castleford have not been playing that badly, to be honest. And I think they might just sneak a win on the home ground here.
I've just realised we touched on it before, but I missed the Thursday night matchup. Hull KR versus Warrington.
Hull KR probably. Yeah, and to sneak it.
Saturday, London versus Wigan.
Well, it would be nice to say London, wouldn't it? But you'd be a super optimist. You've got to say Wigan. It must be Wigan in that case. So I hope by not too many. You know, what I'm hoping for there is that that London can be as competitive as they were against Hull. I mean, you know, they'll be overpowered by Wigan, I think. But you know, as long as they play well, I think that's the important thing for some of their newfound supporters.
No, definitely. And the final matchup on the Saturday, Catalans taking on Hull FC.
You can only see Catalans winning that, can't you? You know, Hull have been pretty disappointing so far this season. They just got away with it against the Broncos on Sunday, but you can't really see them travelling to Catalans and winning, unfortunately.
No, definitely. Well, it's set to be an exciting weekend of football. We did have some 1895 Cup results.
We did.
Over the weekend. So Bradford 21 defeated Swinton Lions 12. Sheffield 26 defeated Batley 10, Wakefield 30 defeated Barrow 12, and York 46 defeated Oldham 12.
Yeah, I think they were all results that you would have expected, and I think it's Bradford versus Wakefield in the in one semi-final, and Sheffield versus York, or York versus Sheffield in in the other. And of course, the two teams that get to the final play at Wembley. So so there's a real big payoff for them there, I think.
It's a lot on the line. And we have some Challenge Cup Round 5 fixtures this weekend, I believe.
Coming up. Yes, indeed we do. Yeah.
Swinton taking on Sheffield, Widnes taking on Batley, Featherstone taking on Wakefield, and Halifax taking on York Acorn.
Yes, the amateur team. Yeah, that's amazing that an amateur team's got through to round 5. I mean, obviously you assume that Halifax will end their run. Featherstone versus Wakefield is the interesting game, though. An incredible local rivalry. I can tell you, Jake, as a kid who grew up watching Wakefield, how incredible those derbies were against Featherstone. They're almost in each other's backyard. Yeah. And Featherstone's a sort of small village. Wakefield is the larger city. But, you know, I can remember many occasions going to Featherstone with Wakefield and coming home being desperately disappointed. You know, they always used to say at Featherstone in the old days when Featherstone was a mining town that if they needed a new player, they just used to whistle down the coal mine and a new player would emerge, you know. Yeah. And those days are long gone, unfortunately. But you know, they can still, you know, they're still a very competitive side, and they will give Wakefield their first competitive game this year, I think. And you know, you would still think that Wakefield, with all the talent they've got in their side, should probably win. But that's a game that's worth being at, believe me.
That's it. And when you're a dominant team like Wakefield are, you want some close matchups. You don't want to be blowing teams out every week because when you do have that tough matchup, it comes as a bit of a shock.
It does. Yeah, they've actually drawn quite a few amateur teams in the cup so far, Wakefield. But this is the first game against a fellow professional side. But and then we've got the other games. The that game, by the way, will be shown on the Sportsman website. If you go to the Sportsman's YouTube channel, you'll be able to watch that game live, and it will be worth doing, I think. And then, of course, on the Saturday, we've got Swinton versus Sheffield, which will be shown on the BBC iPlayer, kicking off at 12:30 at Haywood Road. You ought to go down there because it's not that far. It's a very easy train ride from Deansgate, where you jump on the train to get down to Sale.
Yep.
In fact, you wouldn't go to Sale. You go to the following station, Brooklands, I think it's called. It used to be called. I used to live in Sale at one time many years ago. So I do know the stations around there as they were. And it's a very nice little venue, is Haywood Road.
Yeah,
I think you'd enjoy that trip.
And now what time is that one kicking off?
12:30 on Saturday.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to try and get down there.
Yeah, you ought to.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Martin, and we're getting all this information, obviously, from this week's edition of the League Express paper. You can head along to totalrl.com/shop to get your online copy.
If I can just show that.
That's
all right. Just show the front page. It's coming apart. front page there, League Express. Worth every penny of the £2 cost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up today, Martin?
We've had a very famous player who sadly passed away, Lewis Jones, the former Leeds, Wales and Great Britain player, died at the age of 93. So came from Welsh Rugby Union. I think he played for Llanelli at Rugby Union in the early 1950s. Went on the British Lions tour in 1951 at in Rugby Union, but then soon after that signed for Leeds, and was one of the best signings Leeds ever made from Rugby Union. Went on tour with Great Britain in our game, and then played for Leeds till the mid 60s, and then went over to Australia for a while and coached Wentworthville in New South Wales before coming back here and living out his life in the city of Leeds. And, you know, he is a Hall of Famer. He's in the Rugby League Hall of Fame, is in the Wales Sports Hall of Fame, is obviously in the Leeds Rugby League Club Hall of Fame. And, you know, he was that sort of player, genius, kicker of a ball again, you know, played mainly at centre and won many a game for Leeds. So it's a sad day for all those fans who used to love watching him when he was in his prime. And one other guy who died recently, by the way, at an even greater age, John Etty, the former Oldham and Wakefield Trinity winger, who played for Wakefield in the 1960 Challenge Cup final. He's died at the age of 97.
Wow.
Which is, you know, a great innings, as they might say, but nonetheless still extremely sad when his life comes to an end. And you know, we'd like to send all our best wishes and condolences to the family of both those former players. And, you know, I remember seeing John Etty in the latter part of his career, and, you know, he was a really fine winger who did a good job for Wakefield when he came from Oldham. So, and was an absolute gentleman as well. One of the real gentlemen of the game. Lovely guy. You know, I'm sure he'll be missed.
Mm. Yeah, very sad news. And our thoughts go out to their families. We're thinking of you, and hopefully they can get
absolutely
through this tough time. All right, mate. Well, it's been a pleasure. We've had so much to talk about. We've gotten through it in a pretty good time, I must say.
Yeah.
You know, as we mentioned, we could have been here all day long talking. So,
yeah.
But yes, a lot of good action to look forward to this week, and we'll be back to do it all again next week, mate.
Great stuff.
No worries. Don't
thanks,
forget
Jake
to subscribe, guys. Thanks, Martin. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye.